أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Now we will look at Surah An-Nur, Ayahs 27 to 29. We will look at its tafsir. So far from what we have learned from Surah An-Nur, we need to keep in mind the first ayah. So before going over every lesson, we must remind ourselves. Suratun anzalnaha wa faradnaha wa anzalna fiha ayatin bayyinat. This is a surah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed and made it obligatory, and in it are verses that are clear. The ayahs are obligatory to act upon. As we study all the commands in this surah, we must remember they are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not from any philosopher or a scientist or any intellectual person. The commands have not been written by any of these. They are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is, as He states, أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقْ. Doesn't He know what He created? One who created us knows us best, that what is best for us, and what is that is harmful to us, and that which carries benefits for us, by which our lives can be peaceful. He knows about everything. We think that the domestic life is our private life, and no one should have any intervention in it. And we think that Islam is only praying Salah, fasting, and going to Hajj or Umrah, or giving charity, while Islam is not limited to those five pillars alone. Rather, Islam covers every aspect of a person's life. Even the ayahs that we will read today are related to a person's personal life. But sadly, the matters in these commands have been adopted by non-Muslims. And for us, there are nothing more than ayat or verses written in the Quran, and nothing else. That which we recite over and over without understanding what the commands are. Second, we all complain that Sharia is no longer followed and should be placed in a society and should be followed. This is not possible for us to implement in the society, but can practice at our own homes. Within our homes, we can enforce these commands. Most people do not even know about these commands and have never read Surah An-Nur. Those who know about it take it leisurely, and out of frankness with others, we feel these commands are not needed by us. And we find that non-Muslims observe this and call it etiquettes. Well, where are our etiquettes that Islam teaches us? These are not just suggestions. We must realize the importance and emphasize the following of these commands. As they are not in our lives, it is very easy. We get rewarded the same way as by following other commands mentioned in the Quran. It is not that some are more important than others. Rather, wherever ayahs began with Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, the commands that follow, even if we find difficult or find light, we make excuses and tend not to follow them. These are easy commands. We have to understand them and include them in our lives, and have to oblige as command of Allah in the Quran, not a suggestion that it will be good if you follow. No, this is a command and we must follow. We will look at only a few ayahs today, so we can see them from every aspect. So what do these ayahs tell us that we need to obey? Before we begin, we see that at the time when these ayahs were revealed, homes did not have bells, nor phones, nor texts. These things were not there, of course. Doors of homes had curtains hanging, and therefore the outsider was easily able to access entry into someone's house. These days we have locks, but those days there were no locks. So we began today's ayahs with the dua that, O Allah, give us the ability to remember and make it easy for us to bring these commands into actions. Ameen. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe. So whenever a call is made to those who believe, our ears should become alert, because we are all believers, as we all attest that we believe in Allah. So Allah, our Lord, has made a call. O you who believe, that means a command is to follow. When either we are told to do something or prohibited from something. So today we will look at what we are commanded to do. La tadkhulu buyutan. Do not enter homes. Which homes? Ghayra buyutikum, which are other than your own homes. What is the definition of one's own home? An adult person's home is where his wife lives. That is a man's own home. But if other people live there, such as a brother, his wife, and other relations, or a sister, or his parents, in that case, there are other restrictions that have to be observed, then it is not considered totally the person's home. So a person, or specifically a man's own house, where his wife lives, which he calls his home, can be either rented or owned. So do not enter your home except your own home until, number one, tastanisu, you seek familiarity. Number two, watusallimu ala ahliha, you greet by saying salam upon those in the house. So what is the command before entering homes of other than your own? Tastanisu wa tusallimu. We will look at the details, but first we have to remember these two rules. One of the big blessings of Allah is that He gave mankind homes where they can find peace, where they can rest and relax. And Allah has kept a certain privacy for a home. It's a different matter that these days we go on social media and expose the privacy of our homes to others and advertise to others. This is something not liked, to spread about domestic matters to others. The home is a private place for a person and kept concealed from others. Therefore, it is not permitted for anyone other than the owner of the house to enter without seeking permission. So the first word that is used is tastanisu, which means becoming familiar or accustomed or comfortable. So whenever a person enters someone's house, after getting their permission, the people of the house become familiar or comfortable with them and knows who is in their house. And this is not a shock as to who is in their house, as the bell rings and suddenly someone enters. Only robbers or those with wrong intention enter this way, or otherwise everyone is told that it is incumbent that when you go to someone's house, the other person is made to know who is coming. Secondly, is to seek permission before entering someone's home, so not to invade or interfere in someone's private life, or that the hidden matters of the household are not exposed to others. Because in Islam, causing pain to anyone is forbidden, and to trouble someone without any right. Therefore, istizan, or seeking permission, is mentioned. These are the commands of isti'zan, which means seeking permission. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves His slaves, and so that they are not troubled, Allah has given commands. In case anyone intends to go to someone's house, they should seek their permission. And this is very appropriate, as when a person goes to someone's house, after seeking permission, then the person expects that they are coming. They can make the necessary arrangements for the visiting guest, as well as grooming oneself and cleaning one's house. They can welcome the guest with a good heart. But if someone visits unexpectedly, then they may not receive a good welcome, and the visiting person may sense that. From these commands, it is intended that no one finds difficulty. If anyone enters a home without permission, for example, a man, the woman in the house may not have time to cover herself, as women go about the house without covering themselves with hijab or veil. So when these rules are observed, many troubles are averted. One example is that a person may be busy with something that he or she does not want others to see. It can be anything private, and if suddenly someone was to enter, it could expose their private matters. Therefore, we are taught when we have to visit someone, we should seek their permission. Although the word izn could be used, but the word tasta'nisu is used, which means to give familiarity, so the other person doesn't feel shocked and distressed and becomes comfortable with knowing who is coming, either if it is someone coming to do work in the house, such as a plumber or electrician. So the person of the house will not be distressed because they will know that the person came with their permission. Even if a woman is alone in the house and other women are going to see her, even then it is important to get permission from her. Umm Ayas stated that we four women would frequently visit Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and before entering her house we would do isti'zan, seek her permission, and when she gave permission, only then we would enter. This was after the death of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha would live alone, so the woman would seek permission to enter before they went to see her. Similarly, this is for those who are not relations. What about if it is a home of a mother or a sister or a brother? It cannot be that someone barges in. Not even then, they have to get permission. We may wonder why we need such formality with our relations. While in Islam, even if it is a sister's house or a mother's house or a brother's house, we still need to get permission to enter their homes. It doesn't mean that one has to write a formal email, but an informal notice of the person's going to visit them is sufficient. A man once asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that even to visit my mom, I should seek her permission. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yes, seek istazan, gain permission." He said, "O Prophet, I live with my mother." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Even then, do not enter without getting her permission." We have to keep in mind the type of homes at that time, where only a curtain covered the entrance to the house. Now we can lock, so no one can enter. As sometimes we are doing something when we don't want even our son to enter, or our father, so we lock our doors. But what if there are no locks, and entrances are without doors or locks, then anyone can enter? And even if it is a person of the house, there are such things where the person in the house is doing and doesn't want others to come in. So he said, "O Prophet, I am always occupied in taking care of her." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Even then, do not enter without her permission." "Would you like it if you happened to see your mother naked?" He said, "No." Then the Prophet said, "This is why you have to do istizan, because it may be that she may be uncovered due to a need. It can be that she is uncovered and exposed and the son walks in. Only when there is a wife at home, then the person doesn't need istizan. But even then, the scholars say it is mustahab, which means liked, and a way of sunnah when a man goes home where his wife is, that he informs her. A man can indicate by coughing or clearing his throat or making a different gesture to let her know that her husband is coming or entering the house. She can also know by footsteps, not tiptoeing in so the wife doesn't know. This is not liked. The companion of the Prophet ﷺ, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, his wife would say that when he was out of the house and when he was about to enter the house, would let her know by clearing his throat and spitting. The wife said, "This was so he didn't see me in a condition he wouldn't want me to be in." So even if a man is returning from a long trip, and in those times there would be no phones to inform the family of their coming home, the Prophet ﷺ would stop outside the vicinity of Medina, as once upon return they reached close to Medina during the day, but stopped the caravan outside so the wives could be notified and had time to prepare themselves, because they didn't know when their husbands would return. Then after stopping during the day, he and the rest of the army return home in the evening. So the families in the city of Medina were informed of the men's return, and the women could ready themselves and make the necessary preparations to welcome their husbands. Ibn Abi Hatim said, the nephew of Abu Ayyub, Abu Surah, said, "I said to the Prophet ﷺ that we know about greeting with salam as mentioned in this ayah, but what is istinas? When sinta comes in the beginning, it indicates seeking something. So what is istinisu?" He responded that while the man is still outside his home, should say subhanallah, alhamdulillah, and Allahu Akbar, so the family at home is informed of his coming. Then he should enter inside. A person shouldn't just say, "Can I come in?" but somehow should let the family know, either by clearing his throat, coughing, or saying Allahu Akbar or Bismillah, so the family knows that he is outside and coming in. Some people like to walk in quietly to check what is happening inside the house. This is not allowed. So we learn two things: seeking permission and letting the family know, even if a man is about to enter his own house. Even then, he has to remove any alarm that may be caused by his coming in. And the second thing is to greet with salam. Some Mufassireen, the scholars of tafsir, has taken it to mean that seeking permission first and then saying salam. But from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, what we learn is to say salam first by saying assalamu alaikum, and then announce their name, that I am so and so and I want to meet the specific person of the house. Imam Bukhari has copied this narration, narrated by Abu Huraira. Whoever seeks permission to enter before saying salam, do not give them permission, because the person has left the way of the sunnah. First, salam should be said. A man of the tribe of Banu Amir did istizan, sought permission from outside of the Prophet ﷺ's home, and said, "Can I come in?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told his servant to go out and tell him the way of istizan, seeking permission. He said, "Go outside, tell him the correct way. He should say assalamu alaikum, then ask if he could enter." The servant hadn't gone outside that the man heard what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said himself and did exactly as he was told. From this we also learn that any person who says salam and seeks permission to enter should state their name. As Umar would say, "Assalamu ala Rasulullah, assalamu alaikum." Then can Umar enter? This is what Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu would say. Because until the person inside the house doesn't recognize who it is, until then, how can they get permission to enter? Some people who seek permission to enter do not state their name. And those inside the house ask, "Who is this?" And the person outside says, "I," which doesn't tell anything. Once a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and knocked on his door to seek permission to go in his house. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked who it was. The person responded, "With me or I." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I too am I. What is this way?" So this is not what the person should say, but give their name. Another case is when the person of the house asks for the name of the person and the visitor outside stays quiet. This is also not right. In some places where there are guards at the entrances, the visitor can send their card to let the person they are visiting know who they are. Or outside some homes are intercoms. In that case, they can say salam and then give their name as to who they are and then seek permission to come in. So if a person is seeking permission to someone's house by knocking or ringing the bell, they shouldn't ring or knock so many times to make it look like an emergency. Even regarding this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, as was the habit of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would ask three times, seeking istianas, which is also seeking familiarity, not to arouse fear in someone. As when someone starts banging the door, that would make the people of the house scared and seems as if they will break the door, which will only cause fear and anxiety. If we look at the habit of the companions, they would knock with their nails of their fingers, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wouldn't be bothered or annoyed. So the way by saying salam and seeking istizan could be done using the bell, but ringing the bell and the other person opening the door doesn't mean they have the permission to enter. Because if the person did not seek permission to come at this time in advance, then it doesn't mean just because they knocked on the door or rang the bell and the door was unlocked and the person came out that they are allowed in. This is not correct. Even if the door is open, still the person has to get permission to be allowed in. We are taught that we cannot enter anyone's home without their permission. Today we have phones and texts, so we can easily get permission to go to someone's house at the agreed time. We must also remember that permission to go into someone's house must be granted by the adult person of that house. The visitor cannot force upon the person of the house and say, "I am available now, and therefore I must come now," or "My wish is this, and you have to do as I will." No, rather the guest or the visitor has to respect the person they are visiting and see what is the best time for them. We have many means today by seeking permission to go to someone's house. It is possible that the person of the house lets the visitor in out of courtesy. Rather, a person should agree on a time to visit ahead of time. Also, time should be specified, not just saying, "I will come tomorrow," so the person they are visiting is left hanging, not knowing exactly what time of day they would come. Also, even if the door is open, a person should still seek permission by ringing the bell. It can also happen that a person wishes to visit a best friend, so he thinks he doesn't need permission to visit. No, even then, permission is needed. Where is permission not needed? One case is if someone has been invited for a halaqa in their house, or invited for a meal, then they do not need to text in advance to ask if they can come in. In that case, the guest should just go at the host's house at the time of invitation. Many times, the door is left unlocked, and they have written outside to come inside. In that case, there is no need to ring the doorbell. If they were invited, and there are shoes outside the door, then a person can quietly enter without disturbing others by ringing the doorbell. In that case, the person was expected, then they should just go in. But other than this scenario, it is not appropriate for a person to enter without ringing the doorbell or using other means of contacting them to be allowed in. Also, in calling, if the person does not pick up the phone at the first try, there is no need to keep on calling or try to jump the wall and enter their house. Just because the person has made the effort to come, shouldn't think they cannot leave without meeting the person. They cannot do that. Everyone has a private life, and for a man, where his wife lives is his house. Any other person's home, permission is needed to enter, even if it is a parent's house, because it is possible that other family members, such as a brother and his wife, also live there. Everyone has a private life, and many things could be going on at any given time that the people of the house may be occupied in. For example, an argument that they would not want others to hear about, or busy discussing private matters that they would not want anyone else to know about. There are many private matters in every person's life. This is not being Americanized, that we should not disturb them. Rather, this is what Islam teaches us. No matter how close we are to the people we are trying to visit, we still need to get their permission. Many times, disagreements happen between daughter-in-laws and in-laws in a joint family system due to the fact that other family members think they can visit whenever they want. Even if parents live in that house, it doesn't mean they can go to their house anytime they want. Even a brother and his wife, who may live with their parents, have their own privacy and need time to themselves. So even in this situation, permission is needed. Also, when we ask for permission to enter, we have to get it from a responsible person. Many times, if a person knocks or rings the bell, a child opens the door, and the kid might say, "Come in, my mom is here," and the guest just comes in while the mom might be sleeping in her room. So a person cannot enter by just getting permission from a child. And just because the door opens doesn't mean an outsider can enter. Even if someone opens the door, even then, permission is required to enter. If the adult of the house allows, or a servant is sent outside to allow someone in to come, then can go to their house. we should also know whose permission is required in the house. If a man is in the house and says, "She will be coming soon," then cannot go in as a woman. Likewise, vice versa. If a woman of the house cannot have a man come in and wait for her husband to come and meet with him, especially when she is alone, this is also not allowed. We should properly understand the etiquettes of seeking permission. Once Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha had an uncle from her nursing mother who wanted to come to her house. She said, "I will ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and let him know if he can come in or not." She was concerned about if this was allowed in Islam or not. If we observe these commands, we can be safe from many difficult situations. Even in saying salam, it will only be done 3 times, and that itself is seeking permission. So a person can say it 3 times. Once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to someone's house and he said, "Assalamu alaikum." Perhaps it was Sa'd bin Ubadah, and he responded in a very soft voice, "Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not hear, so again he said salam. Then again Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anhu responded in a very soft tone. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said salam again. But upon not hearing any response, he was about to turn back. Then Sa'd radiallahu anhu came out and said, "O Prophet of Allah, may my parents be sacrificed for you. Whenever you said salam to me, I heard with my ears and I responded, but I didn't let you hear because I wanted you to send me blessings of salam again and again. So salam is not a ritual, but a supplication for security for one being said to. It means, I came to your house and I sent peace upon you, and you will be secure from me." Not that a person says salam and when they return back, start talking ill about them and their household. And we learn the limit of saying it, which is 3 times. Not breaking the door until the door is opened. This includes ringing the bell not more than 3 times or knocking the door. The limit is 3 times, done with a pause each time, because the houses of today are such that if the person is outside, people inside the house will not hear the salam. So we would knock on the door or ring the bell, and when someone answers, we should say salam and then ask permission to come to their house. Even in this case, there is a possibility that they allow you in due to shyness. What is best is to seek permission before even coming to their house. If someone goes to a person's house and asks for permission, and if the door is made of glass, and the inside of the house can be seen, as some modern doors have glass doors, and the inside of the house is clearly visible. Even if one passes by the house from the outside, the inside is visible. That doesn't mean we can peek inside people's homes. Even if a small glass is there, cannot look in. People start even looking through locks of doors to find out why the door is not being opened upon knocking or ringing the bell. This is also not permissible. But the sunnah is as when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would go upon someone's door, would not stand facing the door directly. He would stand on the side so he doesn't see inside the house of the person. As when the door is opened, he will be able to see the inside of the house. Also, we cannot start peeking inside the house to see who is inside the house if we see a car outside in the driveway. some people are curious about keeping an eye on the neighbor's visitors as to who is coming and going, and see the car and try to go visit them. They like to see who is visiting. This cannot be done. In those days, there were curtains on the doors, but there were ways to peek inside, therefore have to avoid seeing inside by mistake, as it is advised not to stand in front of the door. Also, if the person doesn't open the door, even if the cars are outside, we cannot keep calling or knocking on the door to make them open the door. It is not incumbent upon the person to open the door. We can only knock on the door if we know there is no electricity where the bell can be used. Also, peeking inside someone's house is not allowed, because these laws are given so privacy is not invaded, and to look inside without someone's permission is not allowed. Once a man saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by peeking inside his curtain of his house. At that time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a sharp and pointing object. The Prophet said, "If I knew he was looking at me, I would have stuck it in the person's eye." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Such a big thing for this matter." This is narrated in Rawahul Baghawi. And the first narration was from Abu Dawood, when Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would stand on the left or the right of the entrance. So what we learn is that no one should, under any condition, peek inside other people's homes.